Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of From the Lower Level. Hi, for those of you who've forgotten us, my name is Moshi.
And I'm Patrizio. I may say the wrong thing, but my intentions are always right.
Lies. Yeah, so we're really sorry we weren't able to do an episode last week. I'm calling it a hiatus, but speak your truth, Patrizio.
I'm calling it personal leave. I just personally could not attend the podcast last week for personal reasons.
I feel like that's not a good enough excuse, but whatever. Basically, I am a slave driver. I drove Patrizio insane.
I apologize for missing last week.
We've all done that. We've all been there. It's fine.
I know.
The people understand. And honestly, like, this is a job. We do a lot of research. You're entitled to personal leave.
You know what, though? It was such a huge week last week. Like, the rumor mill, the word on the street, the episodes. I feel bad that I've let everyone down.
You haven't let anyone down, because here's the thing. We can still mention it all. Let's talk about what's been hit on the street for the last 2 weeks. Like, talk to me. What's the news?
Okay. Like, word on the street. So, we've got to address Dallas has been put on a permanent hiatus, which, like, I mean, what does that even mean, a permanent hiatus? It means it's been cancelled.
Yeah, I mean, but look, The Real Housewives of Miami was also cancelled.
And it only took Real Housewives them, like, 15 of Melbourne, years.
The Real yeah, true, but it was also a far more iconic show. But The Real Housewives of Melbourne also took, like, a break, and it's coming back. But, you know, I want to know exactly why. Like, I have my own salacious theories as to why it's gone on a hiatus and is not just being recast and a new show being produced. But, yeah, to me, it's, like, kind of good riddance. I mean, I said it on our last episode that Dallas is really, it's all filler.
Yeah, look, I mean, we saw that they were sort of doing some test filming of some new Housewives on Dallas. There was rumors that Tiffany was coming back, that Deandra was coming back, and Cameron Westcott was coming back as well. As, like, depressing as it is not to have Dr. Tiffany Moon and Deandra on our screens, like, we just got to be thankful that Cameron Westcott is, like, goodbye, good riddance, farewell. Like, we just have to count our blessings at this point. Why isn't it coming back, Moshi? Because it was shit.
No, I totally agree with you. I suspect that they probably didn't want Cam to come back because she caused a lot of trouble and not in a good way. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, a legal reason. Like, it was like, you know, that kid, you know, like, when you're a kid, if you've got siblings and one of you fucks up, but your parents just blame all of you. Like, I feel like it was a little bit like that. But if there is not a production company out there who doesn't try and tag team, like, Deandra and Mama D, or doesn't try and do something with Dr. Tiffany, they're missing out.
You know, it reminds me of another life that I once had as a teacher. And you know that thing where you'd be like, if one person does the wrong thing, you are all staying in at lunch.
That's what I mean. It's the same. It's the exact same thing. It's very much that. So, yeah, but I mean, if there is not a Mama D and Deandra show, even if they hire their own production company and put it on YouTube, like, they will be doing themselves a disservice. So I think while it might be the end of Dallas, I'm thinking that it won't be the end of the run for some of the women on the show.
I can't wait for the Brandy and Stephanie show instead of Mama D and Deandra, because that's what will happen.
Don't even speak that into existence. Like, the fact that you've like, that is like some Hades talk right there. Okay, that's some demon at work. You're a menace. That's chaotic. I can't handle it.
I am chaotic evil.
I cannot handle it. All right, what else is going on? Talk to me about what else has happened that we've missed.
Look, New York City, Dorinda has released a book, Make It Nice. This is important, Moshi. Important.
It is important. Yeah, I'm really happy that She's got a book out.
That's right. Really? Like,
yeah, I think all of the New York women have all had book deals at this point, right? Oh, I also know something else that I heard about New York, but I don't know if I can say it.
Oh my God. Is it?
I don't think I can say it because I think I might've heard it on another podcast. So I don't think I'm allowed to say it, to be honest.
Okay. Well, thank you for teasing us all. We'll take this offline.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll take it offline.
New Jersey, it was Caroline's 60th birthday party over the weekend. And who was there but Dolores and that big booty? That's where I saw the big booty, actually. Before the podcast, we were talking about Dolores's big booty. And that's where I saw the last image of her big booty, was at Caroline's 60th birthday party. But I cannot wait for this to spark the feud between Teresa and Dolores, because this is like, you know, you can't do this shit.
You know who else was there?
The Wakilis.
The Wakilis.
Okay. But that makes sense. Like, whatever. And they're all Teresa's, like, you know, your enemy's enemy is your friend or whatever it is, right?
But Dolores was friends with Jacqueline and Caroline before she was friends with Teresa.
And Jacqueline is in Las Vegas, so I guess that's why she wasn't there.
Yeah, facts.
Atlanta, Candy has confirmed that she's going to be on season 14.
Is she really going to be there? Are we going to see her? Or is she going to be off filming and doing all of her other endeavors? I love Candy, but I only want to see Candy if we're going to see her on the show.
Well, I mean, it's not looking good for Atlanta as well. Like, is Portia coming back? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. To be like, I'm at the point, and I was talking about this with one of my favorite people, and they said, actually, they were the ones that were like, they were done with Atlanta. And I'm not done with Atlanta, but Atlanta does need a shakeup. But again, COVID, now that most of America is living life like they did before, I'm sure we're going to get back to having some real action and some interesting stuff. You know what? It's a shame that Fallon isn't going to be on the next season. I mean, she'd be good to get on the season, because aside from like Portia now being with her husband, Fallon has a new man and she's pregnant. So all of this has happened in such a short amount of time that I'm like, I need that drama on the screen.
I disagree with you, because I think pregnant housewives are boring housewives.
Oh, I feel like Fallon is not your average pregnant housewife. I'm here for that.
Okay, well, we're not going to see it, so.
Oh, she's got a show on YouTube. I'll just watch it there.
Beverly Hills, look, this was sad this week. I mean, Tom Girardi, he's been put in a home, he's been disbarred, and they are literally auctioning off all of his, like, office. Everything is for sale. The portraits, the lingerie that doesn't belong to Erica Girardi. Like, it's so all funny. For sale.
What would you buy, Roshi? I would definitely buy, like, one of the Tom portraits. Like, just, like, I'd probably hang it in my toilet or something. Like, I don't know. Just somebody who has that many portraits of themselves. But, I mean, I know, like, you're saying it's sad, but it's like, he owes money to victims of crime. And if he doesn't have the money to pay, then these are the things that have to happen. And also, he's done something or being accused of something, allegedly. I mean, he has been accused, but he allegedly has done something that is unethical and speaks to his ability to actually be a good lawyer. So, you know, I think being disbarred and losing his office is literally like, that's just the punishment.
Well, I guess it's sad for him personally. I'm not sad.
Okay, I was just double checking. I was like, why are you sad about
this? It was sad for Tom Girardi.
I think it is sad if you've been such a significant top lawyer to go out this way, but you reap what you sow. And if anyone can understand, like, justice, you
probably
should be a lawyer or a judge.
Probably more a judge than a lawyer. Probably more a judge,
to be fair.
OC, we have the cast trip coming up, and Heather Dubrow has I didn't catch it.
Hinted
at a return for Vicky Gunvalson, but then I'm also hearing it might be Tamra Judge.
Well, so essentially somebody is coming back mid-season and it's not confirmed yet whether they're going to be back as a full-time housewife like halfway through the season or if they're just like doing a guest spot. Who do you think it is?
Well, I think it's more likely to be Tamra. However, if they're going to Mexico, I think Vicky is now living, like she retired to Mexico, right? Or something ridiculous. So it
before
could be
Mexicans.
Well, I think that they might meet like Vicky at the location. You know what I mean? It's just like Vicky is there. It's not that Vicky is coming or that she's invited. She just happens to be sharing a space with them.
Is she going to pee on the bed again, do we think? Or
I mean, no, Vicky's a different woman now. She could be the governor's wife soon.
Not if she's in Mexico.
But that's what she wants. You know, I've got our local, we're from the lower level, the Melbourne Housewives this week, Janet Roach, one of the OGs. She said that apparently one of the new cast members, Anjali, has quit halfway through the season. And
because she doesn't want to be exposed?
She doesn't want to be exposed because of the lies.
I don't, you know what? I mean, Janet loves a bit of drama. Janet also loves to be a bit out there. I love me some Janet Roach. I mean, at this point, we're just getting one-sided updates. Let's wait to hear from Anjali.
I mean, if anyone wanted to ever engage with a housewife, Janet is the one to do it because she literally replies to like any Instagram.
Correct.
Like she is on the comments. So if you literally say anything like to, what's the word? Like to not trigger her, but you can bait her a little, I feel.
Yeah, 100%.
Look, Salt Lake City Moshi, the trailer finally dropped in our hot little laps. Wow.
Beyond.
Bye. You want to talk about fraud? That was the moment for me. Meredith engaging.
That's what I think. Meredith is coming in fully engaged. Obvious. You know what? Like, the fact that Jen seems to be doubling down on being in inverted commas Jen Shah and isn't remotely humbling herself or checking out or like trying to step back, I love it. And the fact that it seems like Whitney again is being baited and being the one that is collecting the bones and dropping them at the table, like, will she ever learn? No. So I cannot wait. I need to know everything. This is like, I hate that when Salt Lake City comes, we're going to have to wait each week for an episode. They need to drop all the episodes and we need to binge. We need answers.
Well, I mean, look, it's gotten the Sunday night slot.
Mm-hmm. The coveted.
I don't know. I feel like it definitely seemed like from the trailer that there are only like three housewives and they are literally like Whitney, Jen Shah, and Meredith. Like,
I saw a bit of Heather.
Yeah, a bit. You saw a bit of like Miriam Cosby. You saw the new girl. She was around.
True.
But Lisa Barlow, MIA, I thought.
No, I think obviously we know this, that they always in the trailers just show us the drama so that they can reel us in. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting season. I just want to know what now that, like, for me, Lisa Barlow said so much at the reunion that now I want to hear her speak more. I want to know what she's going to say. And obviously Miriam Cosby accuses Heather of racism. So I really can't wait to see this.
I just want to know why Whitney and her husband are rolling around like doing hanky panky in the mud. Like, that's why.
Because this is what they do. This is what they do. You can save that for Patrizio After Dark. actually, I just want to talk about one more thing that was kind of doing the rounds this week. So obviously, one Mary Cosby's surname is Cosby. Not and there is we have to talk about it.
This is not news.
This was driving people crazy. It was so funny. Okay. Like somebody did a search of, on the internet, on the Wikipedias. So, you know, accused rapist and somebody who was let off on a technicality, Bill Cosby, his Wikipedia page, it shows that he has a brother. Please stop because you're going to make me crack up. He has a brother called Robert Cosby. And somebody changed the picture so that it's Mary's husband. And, like, the blogs and the Instagram folks were trying to get to the bottom of this. And people were really, like, checking the age and, like, checking pictures and being like, things aren't adding up. When, like, if you just did a better Google search of Bill Cosby's brother, Robert, it would show a completely different picture. But I do know that one of the Instagram accounts that we follow, I can't remember which one, actually had to post a picture of Bill and his actual brother, Robert, because us weirdo Bravo fans were so convinced. And I think we, like, I don't know about you, but I secretly wanted it to be true. But I do believe that somebody had said that there is some relation there. Who knows?
Well, I think the worst part was that there was this implication that, like, they are both, like, frauds and criminals, and therefore, like, that's why they've got to be family, right? Because, like,
criminals family. All... Yeah, 100%. No, but I think it just would have been really interesting. But I love that you think this is not news. We are talking about reality shows.
Well, look, I will give you this.
To our people, okay?
It is word on the street. I will give you that. I just want to round this out by saying that we've had the All Stars Season 2 cast, like, revealed. It is all, you know, heavy hitters that have no longer, you know, been, that are no longer housewives. Former housewives.
Yeah, former housewives. Because I feel like you're still a housewife for life. You're just not a current housewife.
And it's an interesting mix of people. Like, we've got Dorinda, and it's, like, rumored to be at Bluestone Manor, which is, like, a huge difference compared to All Stars 1, which was, like, in the Caribbean. But we've got Dorinda, you've got Phaedra, you've got... Who else is on this cast? Jules Zarin.
It's a lot more people than who was on the first cast, right?
I think it's, like, maybe, like, one extra. You've got Monique Samuels declined the offer to be a part of it because she's still got a bit of drama with the Bravo. But
I would be exactly where Monique is at. I'd be bitter. They're you know, they're making money off these women, but they put them through hell.
So... it's really interesting that we've already seen them confirmed when we haven't even got the first, like, season, like, actually a promo for it or anything. So
true.
Moshi, that's the word on the streets. Let's get into Real Housewives of Potomac, season 6, episode 7. We are on a cast trip to Williamsburg. Ashley's going to arrive shortly.
Why does it feel like you're literally reading, like, the dot points that you took of the episode? Did you watch the episode? Do you remember it?
You know, this is going to be my same problem with Salt Lake City because it's the first one of the week. Like, there's a lot that's happened since then. And I'm just...
Fair enough.
I'm not as, you know, committed as you with the rewatching.
This is a job. I take this very seriously. Rewatching is homework. But also, I do want to say that I also rewatched it because this, to me, is an iconic Housewives episode that will go down in history. And, I mean, purely because of the way that Wendy went for Giselle. And a lot of us feel vindicated.
I mean, look, it was pretty epic.
It was amazing. Like, I think we've seen, like, okay, so number one, goodbye Zen Wen. Zen Wen is out the door. Number two, I think, like, we've only seen threats from Wendy that she could pop off. You know what I mean? Like, she's told us that she could do it. But you know what? She did it.
No, I think she was actually restrained. I think that if, as she says, if the cameras were not there,
there would have been more. And I think the thing that about this is really interesting. So this popping off is a clip that we saw in the trailer. And if I do recall, I haven't trolled back through the tapes, but I told you she was going off at Giselle and you said that she was going off at Ashley or somebody else. You did not believe that it was Giselle that she would be going off.
No, I've been, you know, predicting the Giselle/Wendy feud for months.
You've been talking about a feud, but every time we've spoken about this scene, because we saw it in the trailer, you did not believe that she was going for Wendy.
No, I knew that Wendy was going for Giselle.
I mean, Wendy going for Giselle. Lies! That is not what you were saying.
Look through the tapes, I'm telling you.
I'm going to listen.
You know what it was? You need to find the episode where we talk about the Potomac trailer, and I say that in this scene, Wendy is coming for Giselle.
You do not.
Ashley is a part of it as well, in any case. So I am just all of my bases. I'm telling you, I knew that Wendy was coming for Giselle because Giselle is messy. She likes to get in on people's relationships. I'm sorry, but I'm with Karen on this one. Giselle wants to talk about everyone else's relationship, but she can't hold water. What would she say? She can't hold water or her own relationship, or whatever she says, Wendy, about Giselle.
I don't know the phrase, but I have been on this altar praying to this deity, believing this religion for a while now, Patricio. So I think most of us have been. And I mean, if we just sort of talk a little bit about last week's episode where she was asked by Escala, this is Giselle was asked by Escala, are you still in a relationship with Jamal? And she refused to go there because she said there were trolls at the table after she had just talked shit and like called out shit to every other person at the table. So I don't know. I just don't understand Giselle. Like, do you think she's a psychopath?
I think she has some unresolved trauma.
Oh, look, what black woman doesn't? But what I'm saying is, like, even, like, there seems to be something about, like, even when people say stuff to her about, like, Jamal or about, you know, the rumors, all of that sort of stuff, it seems that because, her whole justification for why she feels entitled to kind of ask people probing questions is because, like, it's water off a duck's back for her when people say it to her. Like, because she doesn't react emotionally, you know, I mean, Wendy calls it out. She says that Giselle just has no empathy. So to me, it's like, because she's so cold and so numb when people say stuff about that, she has this expectation that other people will be too. And I just think that that's kind of not fair.
I don't even think I don't know if she realizes what she's doing. I think she is bothered when people talk about her relationship. Okay. And I think she's bothered, especially when it's like the accusations around like Jamal, like having babies with other women while they're together and all that sort of stuff. I don't think she cares that people are like, you can't hold a relationship. I don't think it's that stuff. I think it's the more like the more spicy, you know, rumors that go around that she doesn't like. Because you got to remember, she's like he's the pastor and she's the pastor's wife. Like, you know, when you look at the church, she was right up there.
So, I mean, the church tells us that we should not do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And yeah, I just feel that perhaps a lot of, you know, is there, I don't know, the Ten Commandments, but like what, thou shall not, like, I don't know, throw rocks at glass houses. I don't think that's it. But I just sort of feel like, aside from the one where you're like not supposed to murder people, like Giselle crosses the line on every other commandment.
Look, Wendy called it out. Wendy came correct. And I'm here for it.
Okay, so the other thing that I want to know if you're here for is, does Eddie look like Idris? And I know you like yourself some Eddie, so I'm curious. Do you like yourself some Idris?
I'm trying to picture Idris in my head right now. I feel like Idris has more, like, defined features. He's got, like, a stronger jawline or cheekbones or something. I feel like... I think, like, they're related, but I would never get them confused.
That is so polite, because I'm just going to tell you right now, they look nothing alike. Idris is a handsome man, but, like, Idris frightens me because Idris kind of is also, like, he gives me, like, my African uncle vibes. Like, that's what I think of when I see Idris. You're literally looking at pictures of Idris and Eddie now.
I have to Google. Eddie
looks like a young black man just trying to get ahead.
I mean, but... do they look similar? No, not at all. Maybe if you squint a little.
But... this is it. This is exactly what I'm. This is what I'm talking about. But yeah, I love that. I thought that, you know, like when Wendy was saying all of her accusations, because she was like so deep into it that she was just letting shit go. But one of the things that I want to know is, like, when she was talking to Ashley, she was saying, you know, she was basically talking about everybody else's dirty laundry and about what the blogs say. And when she was referring to Robin, she says that the blogs say some really evil things about Robin, like implying that Robin does evil things. And I want to know what the blogs are saying. What do you think it could be?
About Robin?
Yeah, like people, like they're saying some things about Robin apparently that's like messy.
Who's and writing about Robin? That's my question.
Well, the blogs.
Patricia. Why are they writing about Robin? I have because so many questions around the blogs just being wanting to engage with Robin at all.
So, okay. So here's some things that I've started to think about Robin over the last 2 weeks, specifically after watching this episode. Robin is quiet. We know that, like, she gets by because she's, you know, part of the two green-eyed bandits, and they get to do, like, all their little messy things together. And while Robin did let us know, like, really early on that, she, like, they'd lost a lot of money, that her and Juan were divorced and they were looking to get back together, there are some things about Robin that we don't know and we need to know. And I think that they're slowly coming out. Like, in this episode, she talked about how maybe, oh, the last week as well, like, she just thinks she has seasonal depression. Like, she doesn't think her depression, I guess, is, like, this deep-seated thing, which I think kind of explains maybe why Juan is not as sensitive to it. Like, it seems to be, like, it might be something that's, like, a personality thing. And then this week, we sort of find out that she's maybe suffering from a bit of imposter syndrome. She's a little bit scared of being too successful because the crash, if it all goes wrong, she's already experienced it and it was really deep. Like, she was saying, like, she was doing, like, market research just to get $100 to be able to feed her family and do all these things. And it sounds like there was a lot of things that she kept hidden. She didn't want people to know. So I kind of want to know a little bit more about, like, really how they lost their money and what happened and what kind of life they were living before. And, I mean, we saw her get really, really drunk in this episode, which was funny but also sad. It wasn't, like, a great drunk, you know? So there's a darkness to Robin, and I don't think we've seen all of it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know if you caught this, but apparently a lot of people reached out to Robin and said that she actually, her description of her symptoms actually also fits with adult ADHD, and she's gone and gotten herself tested for it and is waiting results now to see whether she has ADHD.
Oh, that's fascinating. I do believe that I have ADHD. I should go get tested.
Well, apparently it's like a real process. Like, it's not just like you don't just do a test and get a result.
No. Well, I mean, just side note, The Block, another reality show that I love about renovations, a contestant on that has have been diagnosed in the last 3 years with adult ADHD, and it actually affects their build this week. It's a huge thing. So that's just a side note, because I am doing my own little research into adult ADHD. But I did not know that about Robin.
Well, I mean, it could be true, or she's just securing her storyline for next season. I don't know.
Wow. So question that I have for you is, and I was talking about this with my sister, do you think there is any validity in, like, people asking Wendy if there is something different about her emotionally because she has changed her outwards appearance with the boobs and the butt and the clothes? Or, I mean, and then the other side of that is, like, do we need to be asking these questions specifically because they're on a television show? Because I do believe that, like, all of us, like, some part of me has been thinking, like, Wendy's changed. Why has she changed? But I'm just curious as to whether you think that, like, these are valid questions for the show. Maybe there was another way that they should have been asked. Like, what's your take on that?
I am so anti this discussion around Wendy's apparent change. Like, yeah. I hate that it's a topic of conversation, because, like, Wendy should be allowed to do whatever the fuck she wants to do. She wants to dress like a Versace bimbo. That is her prerogative. Good on her. Get Happy and Ness out. Have her ass on display. I'm here for it. And the thing is that I don't actually think that they, like, realize this about Wendy before. Because you know what I clocked in this episode? Was when she was getting out of the pool, she has this tattoo, like, on her, like, inner thigh, like, at the front. And that is, like, a very, like, if you want to talk about, like, the professor and, like, how proper Wendy was last season, like, having a tattoo in that position, to me, is quite sexy. It's, like, a little bit provocative. And just to have a tattoo as well, I think, like, is very off-brand, let's say, for a professor, yes, political, yes, commentator, right? Yes. So I think it's just that we didn't know that Wendy was this, like, she has this inner, like, sexy vixen that she wants to release. I think that's all it is. And
I love that.
Is it a... Because I don't think this tattoo was new. Like, perhaps it is. Maybe it is new. She got her tits done, her ass done, and went and got the tattoo all at once. Like, it seemed like a lot, but it could be possible. But to me, I think she had this tattoo before. We just obviously have never seen it, because we've never seen Wendy so exposed.
Yeah.
I support Karen in telling Wendy not to dress for these other women, that she should be dressing for herself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're just, I think, especially Giselle, I think they're just threatened by it. That, like,
100%, 100%.
How can this, like, intelligent woman who's got this, like, you know, academic career also have this, like, sexy Versace look? Whatever, let Wendy do what she wants to do. I don't even think it should be a discussion. Like, it's 2021. Like, why are we still talking about this?
Awesome. I mean, I agree with everything that you said, but I'm just wondering if, because they are on a television show, and I guess this also harps back to, like, you know, I have a lot of issues in Atlanta with stuff that Kenya does, but I have to constantly remind myself that, hang on, she's doing this and causing this kind of friction and conversation because it is a television show, and somebody needs to narrate the changes. Somebody needs to address the thoughts that multiple people are happening. And the truth of it is, like, I guess specifically because, whether people liked it or not, Wendy kind of did use her credentials as some kind of way to one-up people. Like, I just think about the way that she spoke to, was it Ashley last season when they had their mini trip or whatever she said? Or she said something like, you call me Dr. Wendy or something, whatever, or Professor Wendy or what it was. Like, she really did try to have this moral superiority over people flexing her credentials in a specific way. And what I thought is really funny is that back then when she was doing that and putting, this is another thing that I just want to quickly ask you about as well afterwards, is like when she was like putting the people who the Green-Eyed Bandits didn't like down, they, you remember they wanted to meet Wendy in the park, they wanted to become best friends with Wendy. And it seems to me that like Robin and Giselle particularly, they are trying to constantly control the narrative, trying to constantly control who everybody's friends with. I'm really like, I think we've talked about this before, but like Wendy, I mean, not Wendy, but like Giselle and Ashley, like Ashley being part of the Green-Eyed Bandits and so close with them that she's bone collecting and delivering the news. Like, it just doesn't sit right with me. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Oh, there is like some secret agreement. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know why Ashley has decided to team up with these people, but I'm not here for it at all. Ashley was messy. And I like, maybe Ashley did come from a good place, but also she was drunk, I think, because she hasn't been drinking for 9 months and she's having her beers and she's got no, obviously, tolerance for alcohol anymore.
No, no, she didn't drink on that day because she couldn't drink because she only drank in the morning and she couldn't drink in the afternoon because she had to express her milk for Dean. Well,
I mean,
or not for Dean, for the new baby Dylan. That's why she wasn't drinking the whiskey.
I don't know. Look, it's just, it's all, Ashley, it's messy. Like, it's she came with an agenda.
But do you think that the agenda was, the seed of the agenda was planted by Giselle? Because yes. I do think there is something Wendy said to Giselle sending Ashley to do this dirty work instead of, and I mean, Ashley's a grown woman. She makes her own decisions. She wanted to do it. But I do think that because Ashley wasn't privy to the day before, I do think that she kind of got fed to the wolves a little bit. And the thing about Ashley is Ashley will, even if she's wrong, she is so much like the other women. She trusts her own beliefs and she is articulate and she knows how to say what she needs to say. So she's not going to back down from this one either. Instead, they're all gaslighting Wendy. Like, she's gaslighting Wendy.
I think it was the right move in the sense to send Ashley because Wendy would not have received it as well from Giselle. Yeah, sure, Ashley's had a lot of rumours put about her, but I think, like, this was the other thing, right, that the discussion is that Giselle and Ashley are like, there have been rumours spoken about our relationships, and that's, like, what we can, like, connect with on Wendy on this. But the fact is that they're not rumours. They are truths.
Those are facts. That's why I was laughing.
Right? Like Giselle, Jamal, like, was swinging his dick around, like, the parish. And, like, and Michael Darby is around squeezing people's butts on camera. Like,
Michael Darby, ugh.
Wendy is in a completely different situation. There is no, at this stage, there are no facts. It's just rumor. So, you know, for Giselle to be peddling this, it is petty, and she's threatened. And look, yeah, sure, like, we need to ask the question because it's like, you know, Wendy, you're different from last year, but, like, you know, I think it's sort of like it's the way that they've gone about it, and I think there's an implication that they've made about Wendy that you can't be two things, you can't be two different, you can't be two people, you'd have to be, like, you know, you're giving off the wrong, you know, ask her, is everything okay, or I don't know, like, what's inspired your new look, what's inspired this, like,
this is it, see, the way you've done it, this is how it should have been done. Right. And it should have just been a conversation, Wendy and Giselle. Like, Giselle should have invited Wendy out for tea or over to her house, even if it was filmed. But it should have been a conversation that just the two of them had, not the one that you have at the table, I think.
But that, again...
And to say that she has no substance. I think it was the substance thing that did it. Because they broke Wendy's heart. She was, like, crying.
Well, because if anything, we learned last season that she has lots of substance because she's got so her 5 degrees and all the rest of it, right? So, I don't know. Look, and Giselle, I mean, Karen is vindicated. That's all I have to say.
100%. We're happy for the grand dame. On that note, I have just one other kind of, well, maybe a couple of questions to ask you. How are you, now that we're sort of like almost at the halfway mark, how are you feeling about Mia?
Who?
Exactly. So I don't know about you, but the mid-season trailer has just been released about Potomac. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of G in the second half. I think there's going to be a lot of Patrizio After Dark content from that situation. I think that my crush on G may be about to wane and disappear. But I will say that as somebody who is definitely was a Mia apologist from the beginning, as is always the case, whenever I think I love a housewife, she fucking ruins everything. And I think what I learned and saw about Mia in these two episodes is that I don't think she doesn't just sit on the fence, but I just don't think that she needs to pick a lane. I think she needs to pick a side.
Did you see Nicki Minaj say that all she's seen of Escala is like open mouth emoji?
No, but Escala brings some bones. Like, I don't mind Escala.
Well, Nicki Minaj does not like her.
Well, then I guess she'll be gone. Did we ever talk about Nicki Minaj doing the reunion?
Perhaps not, but like, as we get closer and closer to the reunion, I need to have this happen.
Well, Andy said that he's happy to make it happen.
Could you imagine? I don't even... the problem is that, I mean, Andy also has a bias, but, like, Nikki would definitely come in with a huge bias, I think.
Oh, 100%. But I feel like that's what would make it great.
Because she wants to come for Giselle, I reckon.
I think she wants to come for all of them, but I think Nikki is also like a girl, like she's a black woman. I think there's a way that she'll be able to talk to these women that Andy never could.
Andy thinks that he could.
No, I think Andy knows his boundaries. Like I think he's worked it out. Well, was there anything else that you wanted to say? Any sort of like hot bits? I know we're thinking Candace's new song is a bop. There was like weird water aerobics. I don't know. Is there anything else on Potomac that you want to touch on?
Look, I mean, I love water sports, but Giselle running that aerobics class was a hot mess. The condoms on their hands.
The twerking.
It was just a no for me. It was a no for me.
I think the highlight for me was Giselle telling us that water aerobics is how she keeps her svelte body. But I think also the other highlight for me in this episode in terms of Candace's one-liners was Candace commenting on Giselle's outfit and saying that like Giselle is literally the last person who should be talking about what anybody else is wearing.
Because she should be sentenced to life in prison.
100%.
I mean, yes, that was a great one-liner, and it was just facts.
It was facts. All right, well, just facts. Let's take a break and come back and talk about the Real Housewives of New York.
The shit show and the flagship.
I think that's definitely what it is, the sinking ship and the flagship. And we'll talk about Beverly Hills, a.k.a. the Kathy Hilton Show.
Okay, Moshi, we're back from the break.
We are back from the break. That was so formal. Just in case you're wondering, we are back from the break.
Well, I'm just trying new things, Moshi.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for shaming you.
Thank you. Well, let's talk about the sinking ship that is Roni. Look, the people are shitty because they were like, what do you mean next week is the last week of the season, the final episode? And I was like, all people have done is complain. They hate New York this season. They can't watch it. They don't even watch it anymore. Actually, I forgot it was on. And now all of a sudden people are like, what do you mean next week's the last episode? I'm done with it. Like, what do the people want? What do they want, Moshi?
As the people.
We the people.
Because we the people. I speak for all the people. Look, Patrizio, I'm with you. I mean, did it give what it should have gave, what we're used to? Hell to that, no. But, you know, I think it's such a heart slog to have a show that exists in a place like New York that is constantly bustling and is like, you know, there's energy, there's parties, there's social situations, there's a lot of travel, because that New York really is a show where that's what happens in every episode. Like, there needs to be those parties, there needs to be that travel. And then, I mean, it's reality. The reality is that the whole world was closed while they were filming. So the fact that we even are able to get what we have gotten is really great. But for me, I just think that what we, like, I don't know, like, Ramona has always been problematic and horrible, but I just think this season, I don't know whether, like, I mean, we saw who she truly is, but it just, none of it was nice. Like, I just don't feel like there was anything really redeeming about any of the women. Like, I like Ebony, but at the same time, I'm just like, I felt like the thing that she was meant to bring to the show, I felt like she already brought it. Like, what else is there?
You know what it is, Moshi? It's the whole thing of the fact that we went through Black Lives Matter last year and we went through social unrest and social change, right? And just as, like, after the global financial crisis in 08, 09, like, afterwards there was this whole thing around, like, you know, flaunting your wealth. Like, people weren't as flashy with their money anymore because a lot of people went through really difficult times. And I think it's in the same vein that, like, perhaps we've put up with Ramona's behavior or explained it away for this long. But when we go through such, like, a huge social change, you know, I mean, it's an ongoing one, right? But it's finally, we've gotten to the point where we're like, actually, this behavior is not acceptable, right? Like, you know, we can't explain it away anymore. And Ramona is trash. Like, that's what it is. But you know what? The other
side. Can I just say to you something?
What?
Preach. Preach, brother. Preach. I'm living for what you just said.
Well, it's just facts.
This podcast is just facts. It is, which is what we should change the podcast name to. But, like, Patrizio, that was like some deep, profound shit. Like, usually, I'm going to be honest with you, you're doing Patrizio After Dark. What you just gave me just then, it just spoke to my soul. Like, I can't add anything to that. It was fabulous.
Look, sometimes I say the wrong thing, but my intentions are always right.
Okay, stop with this. Okay, stop with it.
But look, we also have to talk about, like, I feel like we can't have this discussion without talking about the, like, insane rumor mill that, like, I was getting slapped in the face with. Like, the constant updates to, like, the status of Roni right now, like, it's on hiatus, it's not on hiatus, like, they're filming the reunion tomorrow and it's all virtual, to, like, no, that is not happening at all. Like, the fact that it's just, I don't even know, that
Bethany's coming back, but she says she's not coming back. Dorinda's coming back, but they're saying Dorinda's not coming back. Ramona has left.
Tinsley's coming back.
All of these rumors. I don't know about you, but I think that maybe the rumors are a deflection.
It's Ramona. She's putting it out there. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's a deflection. I don't know if it's, you know, Bravo just testing the water with the audience to see, like, what will land or not. I don't know if it's just people are so fed up with, like, what's happening that they're just talking a lot of crap right now. Yes, but, like, basically, we've had the whole thing. Ebony is great for the show. They love it. Ebony is suing the show. Ebony is not suing the... Like, it's just... It's wild. Sonia's been cut. Like, I think Luann has been reduced. Did you hear this one? That Luann is being reduced to a friend of. So she could focus on the cabaret because NBC... is investing into her cabaret shows.
Like... Okay, so this is the tea that I was going to talk about before. And I was like, I can't remember where I read it, But, and that's why I was like, am I allowed to talk about it? Do I hear it on a podcast? But now that you've mentioned it, that means, because I know you don't listen to any other podcast. So I'm like, now that you've mentioned it, I'm like, we can talk about this. So can I just tell you that if NBC is an investor in the Countess's Cabaret show, that makes so much sense to me.
Because that's why she's survived this long. Is why.
Not just that, but that's why it's constantly on the show as well. That's why 100% she survived this long. That's why she it is such a huge part of the show each time. And also, like, I know she sells out and she does really, really well, but it kind of explains perhaps why she was able to land somebody like Billy Strick to be the guy that's like producing the show and making the album. And I mean, if anybody is going to invest in you, it should be the network. It should be Peacock. It should be NBC. It should be Bravo. Like, you'd be dumb not to invest in it. So it's just a good business decision because you in some way helped to create that Countess brand, like not the Countess brand, but you were part of that creation and you were part of the creation of the Cabaret. So why wouldn't you want to hold on to it and have a bit more control?
But is it true? Like, would they also want to like reduce her to a friend capacity to focus on the Cabaret? Like, I don't think
that that's why. I think that she would be reduced to a friend of because she hasn't brought anything to the show. I mean, unless she's marrying somebody else, what is she really going to give us?
I mean, it's a pandemic. What are any of them bringing us at this point?
COVID.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you've
conversions, already... finding their long lost fathers.
Well, and all some of these things are wrapping it up. They are wrapping up shortly. I don't know. Even Ramona earlier this year said there were going to be 20 episodes. The fact that there are only going to be 17, but then I was like, maybe Ramona meant 20 in total because it'll be like a 3-part reunion.
Do you think we're going to get a 3-part reunion?
I mean, I bet you it's in their contracts to give us a 3-part reunion. Does it need it? No. I just want answers. And you know what I think the wild part is? The fact that they have not recorded the reunion and the fact that, like, if next week is the last episode, then we're going to have to wait, like, several weeks before we get a reunion. It just seems off.
What if the wild part is that they have recorded a reunion, but they just don't want us to know about it ahead of time? Like, they don't want anything leaked. So they're diverting by saying that they haven't done the reunions, that we all are doing exactly what they want us to. Like, we're all just at home speculating, asking questions, right?
But then what about the audience questions? You know how Andy always puts out the call out to, you know, ask a question at the reunion?
I think there's enough mess that we don't need questions. I think questions from the audience at this, from us, the watchers, the readers, the listeners, I think questions from us at this stage would cause more trouble.
Would you have accepted a virtual reunion if that was true?
No. What I think might be happening is rather than a reunion, Andy is talking to them all one by one.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine if what we got is three parts where each of them, he does one-on-one, like, candid interviews with each of them?
Well, that tells me that they can't even be, like, put in front of each other at this stage.
No, I mean, that's obviously not what's happening. But I think whatever is going on with Roni, one thing that we can kind of be confident and sure on is that something is not right. I think I shared with you on Instagram. So there is a influencer that I follow who is also not just an influencer. She also happens to work for Instagram. And I guess in that regard, she is an influencer. She's very popular on Instagram and the internet. Her name is Brooke Everd. And she's in her early 20s. She lives in Manhattan. She is, like I said, sort of like an influencer. She's a Black woman about town. She also does this podcast called Naked Beauty Planet about beauty products. And she's just like really active and really social. She's also a young mum. She's married to an older gentleman who is also incredibly successful. He's Turkish, and they have the most gorgeous son, Mavi. But she shared with, you know, her viewers that the casting directors of The Real Housewives of New York reached out to her. And, I mean, she said, like, she sort of asked everybody, should she engage? And we were all like, you know, yes. And, I mean, I don't know if she engaged or she didn't engage. But seeing them reach out to somebody like her, it tells me that they're trying to push the show in a different direction and that they're open for change. Because she would be kind of like, not quite like Leah, but that same sort of vibe. So, you know, women in their 30s who are mothers, who are really successful in these like really new fields that perhaps we're not used to, and like entrepreneurs, and who have like more eclectic nightlives. Like they're not constantly on the Upper East Side. They're downtown. They're everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's as you like to tell us, Moshi, this is like the next era, right? It's it's the Ebony Leah era, and we just need to bring in like more Black women. I need a Latina in there.
Yeah,
we're gonna have the Jewish lady from Leah now, so like we're getting our bases covered with what New York looks like.
Sometimes I think that you don't listen to me, or that like you listen but you don't hear me, and then like you tell me these things back to me and I'm like, he was listening. But I think like what we're getting is obviously the diversity mix in terms of like ethnicities and perhaps a bit of culture. But I think what we're also trying to do is like get a current representation of what New York is all about. Because when Housewives started, like particularly like these you know, flagships, it's in its 13th season. Like it started 13 years ago. So New York and the landscape of New York has changed. It is, you know, the city is now, the Upper East Side, I will say, and those sorts of places aren't just Upper East Side housewives anymore. It is artists, it's people who are creative, and women in general, or people who are non-binary, or, you know, people who have been marginalized. We're different now. We also occupy those spaces. So I think it's about capturing the modern essence of what it means to be a New York housewife. And to be affluent in New York, I should say.
I want to add to that as well. And I want to say that, you know, when I think of New York, I think New York is that place where you go to try and make it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's a very Bethany, like Bethany in the early days, right? Like she had nothing. She has skinny girl. She was like in like the Walmarts trying to like peddle her goods by doing tasters and all the rest of it. You got the Alex McCord. Like she was like living in this rundown brownstone in like Brooklyn. Like those children and her were sharing like a bedroom. Like it was like they were trying to make it in New York. And so
I think
like that is so much more. And you know what? I think there is potentially a space on TV, on a straight to streaming Peacock, for the old ladies from the Upper East Side. Like,
yes,
give Ramona her show with her 50 girlfriends and they just like make a mess of where do they go? The Hamptons. Like, give that to her. But I think The Real Housewives of New York will be so much more compelling when you do have these, like, you know, perhaps they're not trying to make it, but they've, you know, they've made it and now enjoying their success, but they've come from all these different walks of life and, you know, they've had a journey to get to where they are. Like, you know, Leah has in a way, but Leah's just a bit too, like, I don't know. I think she's a bit too divisive for...
I think she's a bit too divisive as well. And I think that there's like this happy medium that exists kind of outside of Leah. And I think there's like a new social circle. Like there is a different social elite that also exists in places like New York, particularly now, because the thing about New York is that you're absolutely right. People go there to make it and it moves with the time. Like it constantly has a renaissance. But I was just reminded, actually, when you were talking about there was a show that was on Bravo called Blood, Sweat and Heels. There's, I think, two seasons, possibly three. And it was about these young Black women who have all either moved to New York or are from New York, and they're all trying to make it. And it came out sort of in that, like, the first sort of the 2010s, like when we started to get into the teens. And unfortunately, it ended where one of the women who was on the show, a young woman who was like killing it. Like she was, her whole thing was that she was trying to make it as like a presenter. And she was like trying to be like almost like a Black Martha Stewart, like kind of to do all these sort of things, like very Renaissance-y. Unfortunately, she contracted like a really rare form of cancer, Daisy. And like she, it just progressed so quickly that like she literally, like she just died. It was so heartbreaking. And they ended the show. And all of those women, like they were on that show, they're still all doing big things. Like they're all either influencers or being able to build their brands. But it was really about that kind of life. And to be honest, like if we're not going to see those sort of women on Housewives, I'm actually okay with that, because I think what I'd like to see, and a lot of people out there have said this, is like they'd like to see a return to Blood, Sweat and Heels or something more like that anyway. And Bravo have done it before. They should do it again.
But in all of this, I need Sonia Morgan to be like a friend, at the minimum.
What I was going to say about Sonia in all of this is that Sonia, I don't know about you, like I've always been dubious about Sonia and her interns, but I'm starting to realize that her interns, and I think we saw them a bit in this episode, her interns are what a keep, like that's how she's getting her education. That's how Sonia is staying on the polls. That's how Sonia is like not becoming Ramona, like not becoming super antiquated. That's how Sonia is staying, you know, ahead of the gang. So I don't even think that Sonia needs to be a friend of. I actually just think keep Sonia on the show.
Wow. You would be the only one saying
that. No, that's not true. The internet is all like, there is no Housewives without Sonia Morgan. Like Sonia is the only housewife I think who is old that can still sort of be there with the young guns.
Well, I mean, Moshi, if we want to talk about this week's episode, it was yet another example of the Sonia Morgan show. Like the moments.
What was your favorite of all the one-liners that she did in this episode? What was your favorite Lady Sonia Tremont Morgan one-liner?
I think it was the admission that Harry Dubin needed to use like an asthma inhaler during sex.
No, that was amazing. For me, I think it was, if you can't talk shit about your friends, who can you talk shit about?
Well, she is so integral to the show. The fact that she got COVID and they had to like postpone filming for 4 weeks. Like, we know that you have to quarantine for 14 days when you're like diagnosed with COVID. Like, the way that it took 4 weeks for them to resume filming because of Sonia, it just says it all.
I've seen this agenda being pushed, okay? I'm going to be the apologist here, and I'm going to say that I don't think that that's the case. I think that's something that we'd all like to believe. I think it probably had more to do with the fact that they're using a really lean camera crew, and that entire camera crew had to go and quarantine. And then they probably had to stay back longer because their family members also had COVID, and they probably had people they had to look after. I think it's more that just like the supply chain got affected. And I think it would have been the same if any of them had gotten COVID. And also, I wanted to say the fact that none of the others got COVID tells me they've all, like, we know Ramona's had it, but the rest of them have all had it.
Well, I think they're quite open about it. I think Leah, well, I mean, Leah was exposed to it a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, but she's never said they've never publicly said they've had it. Did Ebony say she'd had it?
I think Ebony has.
I think Ebony has as well. I think they all have. I think Luann has, but none of them are saying it.
Well, I mean, New York, like, it was a hotspot for the longest time.
100%. I'm surprised that it took that long for Sonya to get it. That is the thing that blew my mind.
Oh, well, she's a recluse.
She did leave New York, though. Yeah, she was a recluse, and she did leave. Yeah, I guess that was my takeaway, that I was so shocked it had taken her that long. But I'm also really happy that she was able to recover well.
Well, I mean, I don't think she has, because she's blaming the COVID fog on her, like, forgetting to hang up the phone on Luann before, yeah, talking shit about her. What, with Luann still on the line? I mean, that was iconic. I mean, like, Sonya's vagina made an appearance in this, like, episode as well, where she's, like, out in her garden trying to inspect if her rainbow community of fish are still alive. And, like, that she bends hilarious. Over.
Oh, okay. So she did that for, she does that for TV. This is the clown side of Sonya. Like, she 100% knew exactly what she was doing. Like, those things... We're like, oh, Sonya, but, like, she's giving us comedic relief. She's giving us what we need.
I was sad to hear that her date that we met, like, two episodes ago now, like, he didn't even send her chicken soup, as is the Mr. to do in New York.
Mr. Jelly in his back. I mean, let's be honest, they were already over.
I mean, they were, but Sonya was, like, made a real point of, like, how this man wronged her, which I thought was interesting.
This is the same woman who also told us that she had sex with the younger man and, like, made this whole big deal about it, and we all know that was a lie. Like, at this point, like, we need to acknowledge the fact that Sonya is 100, like, yes, she does get a bit drunk and has those moments where she goes full Sonya. But for the most part, when she's on it, like, she is just giving us entertainment. Like, she's giving us what we want. She's in on that side of the joke, I believe.
She truly is. Well, I don't know. Moshi, have you got anything else to say about the sinking ship itself?
Not about this episode, but Bashan is back next episode. And I'm really looking forward to next week's episode, because it looks like, I mean, they're back at the Hamptons. They're back where all the shit started, at Ramona's house. But it looks like they have a day where they each have to, like, a dinner where they each have to dress and act as each other. And I can't wait for that mess.
Well, it is going to be a mess. All I thought was, like, I think Sonya has to be Bashan. And I was just like, this is not going to end well.
I just want to say Luann is Ebony. And I was like, oh, Luann. But you know what? It looks like she doesn't try to darken her skin. So there's something good.
Growth. We love to see it.
We love to see it. Aside from just celebrating the fact that Ebony found her father, which I think we all knew was going to happen, and the fact that it's so rosy and they're all gonna, like, catch up and she's met all her sisters, I'm a bit sus on all of that. I'm like, it was too short a storyline. I just sort of feel like it was so short a storyline, one, because of COVID, but two, also, like, I feel like she had it waiting in the wings just in case. Feels a bit suspicious.
Oh, really?
I think I'm just really cynical.
I'm going to say I think she went into it knowing that she would get results.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
But whether, like, she was waiting to pull it out, I'm not too sure. Look, the jury is out on Ebony. I don't know. I feel bad for her, I think, because I think she's what the show needed, but perhaps not at this time. I don't know.
I really like the friendship between her and Leah. I'd be interested to see what Ebony would be. The other thing about it that I think worries me is that I don't know if Ebony would play well with others if there was another Black girl. Like, we already seen that she doesn't really give Bashan a lot. she's not particularly nice to Bashan. So part of me thinks that, like, we need a whole cast shakeup. And I'm happy for Ebony to come back next season. I'm even okay for Leah to come back next season.
Okay, I think we need to move on before you start saying anything else that's crazy.
I'm really hoping that Ramona... No, I'm kidding.
you know what? That's part of the rumor, that Ramona is the only one that survives the cast shakeup. Like,
can I tell you? I mean, so number one, here's the thing about how much we suck. Like, as much as I have... Like, as much as Ramona Singer is a racist, as far as... you know, facts be, that's not allegedly at this point. She has said some anti-Semitic things, regardless of whether she meant them to be anti-Semitic racist or not, she has done those things. And if she came back as the only housewife, this is how trash I am, I'd still be watching the show.
Well, you know what? She does resonate with viewers, apparently.
Yeah, because we're all racist.
Okay, well, Moshi, let's move on to Beverly Hills.
AKA the Kathy Hilton show.
Took the words right out of my mouth. It's season 11. It's episode 13. I think, did we get a mid-season trailer already?
Ages ago.
Okay, I'm just slow. There's been a lot going on this week. Mm-hmm. Meh. I don't know. I'm not feeling this episode personally.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there was something that happened at the period. Like, it is after Christmas, I guess. It's after the holidays. I'm not sure if there was, like, maybe, like, another lockdown or something happened. But the vibe is a bit weird. I don't know if it's because there was so much focus on Lisa Rinna, who really... doesn't have much of a storyline.
Well, I think this episode is like the most of the storyline that we're going to get from her. I did notice that as well, that I think that, you know, usually when, you know, there are these dinners or, you know, fights and parties or whatever, it's usually like the next day or like within the next 3 days they see each other. But this time it was like 3 to 4 weeks later.
Yeah.
It is quite a significant amount of time that has passed. And I'm sure you're right that it probably is COVID related. I'm sure there was like, you know, a surge or whatever during the time they were filming. But yeah, it was just sort of, I think there's a bit of a disconnect between sort of the events of last week to this.
Yeah, something was a bit off.
I mean, look, this was definitely the Lisa Rinna episode between, like, her daughters and her, like, launch party. I just want to say that I can't believe that they were trying on Lisa Rinna's, like, vintage designer dresses, like, in the garage. Like, the way that those dresses were hitting the dirty garage floor, like, I was, like, really not okay with that.
Not personally, for me, I mean, I think it just speaks to who Lisa Rinna is. Dirt on the ground. I'm joking. She's not dirt on the ground, but I think, I don't know. I guess she is. I don't know. She's not a show off. Do you know what I mean? Like they were talking about her flashiness, I guess, in this episode. Like, she lives for all intents and purposes. Like, she shows up and she wears outfits and she looks great, but she's really a down home girl. Like, there's not a lot of pretense with Lisa Rinna, and that is actually one of the things that I do like about her. Like, she doesn't try to be fancy.
No, not at all.
You know what I mean? She doesn't try to be fancy, and yeah, I mean, I wasn't feeling too weird about the kids trying the clothes on in the garage, because I'm just like, we'll just get them dry cleaned. Like, it's fine.
I'm also, like, not into this whole, like, ongoing Scott Disick conversation, because I just, like, I know in my heart that they have already broken up, like, several weeks ago. And I just
They haven't, though. They're still together.
They're not still together, are they?
They are.
I don't believe it.
No, 100%, I'm pretty sure they are.
Wow, I don't even know what to say to that. I was just like, wow, we're really, like, you know, really going on about Scott Disick. But I thought it was like a week like a weekend romance. Like, it wasn't even
No. They've been together for like at least a year at this point.
That is shocking to me.
It's a pandemic. Who else are they going to be with?
I mean, it's Scott Disick. Anybody else?
Okay, I want to know why the Lord gets such a bad rap. Like, he's turned his life around.
Has he?
He's incredibly rich.
I think that, you know, this is obviously all a side note because, you know, it's reality TV adjacent. But if Scott Disick had really turned his life around, Kourtney Kardashian would have gone and back with him.
No, I know what you mean. But, like, number one, they're on different levels. Like, when I say Scott's turned his life around, I mean, like, he's not constantly drunk. Like, he's a more responsible adult. He has his own money. He had his own reality show for a while there. He is still part of the Kris Jenner money-making machine. And to be honest, there is more money in Kourtney and Scott not being together.
Yeah, oh, totally.
The whole will they, won't they is all part of the show. Like, it's not a coincidence. Like, look, if you want to talk about Kardashian conspiracy theories, it's not a coincidence that as soon as, like, Kourtney, who didn't really want to be on this show for the last year, is now finally in the relationship she should have always been in, because those of us who are diehard Kardashians know that her and Travis Barker, this has been a thing for a long, long time. We've all been wanting it to happen. And now that it's happened, they're, like, fully, fully all over it, because I suspect he probably didn't even want to be on the show. Like, you know, this... The show is over, so her and Scott, they can stop this fantasy of pretending that they want to be together. Like, it's all done.
Did you spell conspiracy with a K?
Of course. There is no other way to spell it.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm.
The fact that you asked that is like, do you know me? Have we met before?
Never. I don't know you. Well, in this episode, what else happened, really? Look, we get a little insight into, you know, Erica's little cottage life that she's now living. She's
Cinderella, mopping and vacuuming.
She's vacuuming the couch.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I have a velvet couch, and it does require vacuuming, I will say that.
I was just laughing because to me, what it really just showed is that, like, she is just lost. She can't do her music. She can't do all the things that she does. Like, she literally has nothing else going on in her life. She clearly doesn't have any other friends, I don't think, apart from these women.
These women aren't even her friends.
But I'm not even just saying that for, like, to be sarcastic and a smartass. Like, I truly believe that she doesn't have any friends.
You know what I believe? You know that blue confessional look that she was wearing this week?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had to put that all together herself. Like,
I'm sure she did.
The money is gone. She's not, I think Mikey has, he's yeeted. Like, he is gone.
She has said it herself that everything she has now, she's paid for herself with her own money, which goes to show, like, she's not living in, like, just some little bungalow. Like, it's still a million-dollar whatever house in California. She still has more money than most of us. Like, she's fine.
Can I just say, though, when I saw that they gifted Kyle the fur jacket, I was like, what a way to get rid of the money. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, you've got money that you need to spend. You buy gifts for your friends.
But didn't Rinna say, that rhymes. You're a rapper. You're a poet. But didn't Rinna, like, buy it and then Rinna said, this is from us. Like.
I believe that also because Erica's got no cash. Like. She can't be buying gifts for people anymore.
Yeah, she bought cake and put some champagne on ice. Like, that's enough.
Erica's at the point now where she would have to, like, make a scrapbook of, like, photo memories and give that to people for their birthdays.
Look, she's not that destitute. She can still make it on her Mac and print it off for $20. Like, she's fine.
Like, Moshi, I think she is that destitute. Like, I mean, look, I don't know. She gives me Brandy Glanville vibes at this point.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you know how Brandy was just never at the level of wealth as other women?
But different. Erica is still at a different level of wealth. Like, Erica still has dollar bills, y'all.
I don't know. I think they're going to come, you know, side note, I think they're going to come for everything that she has.
Oh, 100%.
When Tom can't, you know, foot the bill.
Oh, I totally believe that too. But I don't want to like spend too much time talking about Erica, because for once, like, we didn't just talk about her divorce. Instead, we talked about kind of, I feel like, the aftermath of, because this is something that we didn't get to touch on before, but the whole Sutton sort of bringing everyone together to kind of get everybody, to let everybody know that she is concerned about the association and with Erica, and has gotten legal advice, and sort of this new wave of like the aftermath now of all the controversies of Erica and what it means for the relationships and amongst the women. And I think so the first sort of after effect of what it means for the women is that there's been the divide kind of between the groups. So it's like the old guard housewives, and then it's like Sutton, Garcelle, and Crystal on the other side. Would you agree?
Well, I saw that there was a suggestion, because it's like the Fox Force 5 or whatever they call themselves. And it's like Teddy, Larina, Kyle, Dorit, and somebody else I don't remember. And they're the ones that went through the LVP, like, breakup.
Oh, 100%. So one thing that happened in this episode that I was like, deja fucking vu. Dorit. Everything that Dorit did in this episode to Garcelle is everything that she did initially to Kyle, and what she did to Lisa Vanderpump and ended up causing. Because I don't know if people know this, but Dorit is really the person that caused the split between Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump. And Dorit does this. Every season, there's somebody who is bullying her, apparently, and she has to call them out for it. And to be honest, Garcelle made Dorit look like the fucking idiot that she is. Would you
agree? I mean, look, Garcelle was everything to me at this, like, luncheon. The way that she was, like, wearing the sunglasses, the way she, like, called Dorit out on the bullshit. Like, Dorit is just, she just lives in her own little world. And 100%. Like, I'm so done with Dorit. And she causes drama, and she's a flip-flopper.
She's a flip-flopper.
We saw it last week. You know, she says one thing in front of everyone, and then Erica's in the room and she says something completely different. Again, this week she's accusing and like bullying again. Like, we've seen this in other Housewives franchises. You know, people have called Gina Liano in Melbourne a bully, and it does not end well for anyone involved, right? It is a strong word to use, and it's completely unfounded in this case, I believe. I
think Dorit likes to pick a fight with the person that she thinks is good. Like, I don't know. To me, she's a gaslighter, because everything that she said about Garcelle, like, she said, like, Garcelle was, like, chicken shit. She said Garcelle does this thing where she pushes people until they explode. And I'm like, everything you're saying, Dorit, is literally everything that you're doing right now. And I'm going to be really honest. I think Dorit is messing with the wrong one. And I also think, again, what we're going to see is like the angry black woman trope. So just the way that in the end, like, I don't know if you saw it, but Dorit was like, she couldn't actually say that Garcelle had done anything. Instead, she said it was the tone that Garcelle used. And then when Kyle was talking to Kathy, Kyle was perpetuating it. I don't know if they realize this, but this is, you know, their unconscious bias, that she was really shocked that Garcelle had told her to shut the fuck up or get fuck or get whatever it was. And I was like, Kyle has literally screamed at people in the exact same way. Like, they have all done this before. They have all sworn at the table. They've all done all this stuff. And now they're trying to say, put all these connotations onto Garcelle. She's no more aggressive or no more direct as any of the other women. Like, she's not doing anything that none of them have done before. They all said it around the table, you know, or they all said in their confessionals. This is the thing. They all said it in their confessionals, but none of them said it at the table, except for Kathy Hilton, that everything that Garcelle had done, particularly the thing saying that Dorit talks too much, Kyle has said the same thing. Even Erica Jane said that she's had the exact same fight with Dorit. And it was Queen Kathy who got up and from the end of the table and said, yeah, but you've heard it before.
I mean, look,
Kathy.
It's Beverly Hills. I think this is the thing. Because it's the same. I don't want to equate the situations, but I feel like it's the same with Sutton. Like, Sutton has this, like, you know, opinion. And what she's trying to say is that she doesn't want to say something on TV that is going to, you know, pull her into the legal drama. Because I think we've seen Lisa Rinna might be, you know, what are they called? Like, not subpoenaed. To give evidence based on things that she's been saying. And I think Sutton just doesn't want a part of the whole thing. I think Sutton wants to know what they can and they can't talk about on camera. And I think that's fair to say. And the fact is that they all give Sutton a really hard time for having this, you know, opinion and this stance when the rest of them, again, in their confessionals are all like, I don't know, like, it's all very suspicious. Like,
I agree with you, but this Fox 5, whatever you want to call them, they're idiots. But I think if there was ever bullying being done, I don't know if they realize it, but when you kind of get in a gang and then strategically isolate people, that is a form of bullying, and that's what they're doing. And I just think that, you know what it is? Like, I guess this must be the thing, is like, when you have such an ego, because you have to have like a bit of an ego to be on these shows, and you're in front of the camera and you're not getting that, like, they're not in front of like a studio audience where they can get like instant sort of gratification or validation on what they're doing. And I think that Dorit's perception of the situation that she's in at the moment is so upside down. Like, the thing is, like, you know when someone is so confident that they think that they're right on this matter, because that's the way she approached Garcelle, to do it at the table as well like that. She was coming from a place where she was like, I am high and mighty. I'm going to tear you down. And that's not how it came across on the screen, honey. You look like doo-doo. You look like an idiot.
She's boo-boo the fool.
She is boo-boo the fool. And I wonder... And I mean, I know because of what she's been putting on Twitter and in the blogs and all those things, along with, you know, Teddy or whatever, that the upside of it is that it's backfiring. Everybody loves Garcelle. All these women, like, these people are so dumb. There's a reason why there's diversity hires or whatever you want to call them on your show. If you were smart, you wouldn't try to isolate them. You would be doing what Sonia Tremont Morgan is doing, and you would be allying.
Well, I think...
Read the room.
I think that there was a point where I feel like Dorit and Garcelle were perhaps getting along.
Last year, she named the good fish after Dorit, remember?
Well...
Something has happened, though, between then and now, and I want to know what it is, because, I mean, I loved Dorit last season. I loved who she was. But there is, like, some sort of weird agenda. Like, Dorit just, she doesn't know how to pick a side. She's trying to stay in with the right crowd, I think, because she realizes as well that she doesn't have a storyline. But whatever she's trying to do now, trying to create a storyline for herself, it's the wrong storyline.
You tell us. I want to talk about the beautiful party that Crystal has put on for these women.
Amazing.
She's a hostess. She loves to host parties. Usually she holds 2 to 3 parties a week.
A week.
I personally would never hand out my home to people to host events. And if I was, it would not be 2 to 3 times a week, maybe 2 to 3 times a year.
So I really loved it. And to be honest, if I had a house like Crystal's, I would be hosting parties all the time too. And for me, this is the thing that I always, like, when I think of, like, the old guard of, like, people who were really, really rich and really celebrities, that was kind of, like, part of the point of having a really nice house is that you find ways to share it with people. And I think for Crystal, she knows that she came from much humbler beginnings, and I think that she doesn't take her life for granted. And I think that she also knows that she's in a really unique position to be able to have the freedom to just do things that make her happy. Like her whole, imagine like that, that is like the ultimate goal, right? To just do things in your life that make you happy. And she's found a way, because she said like she's a bit of a control freak, but she's found a way to do something that is probably a really small thing, because it's not like she's putting up any of the decorations or anything like that. All she's doing is just saying, yeah, use my backyard. You know what I mean? And, you know, the response that she gets from it, look at the gratification that she gets from that. Like, what I want to know is, not, is she not just donating her backyard? Is she also paying for these events? That's what I want to know. And if she is, does that not just make her then a party planner, and can't she just like claim it all back for tax purposes as a business expense?
Well, I would say that, I mean, if she is truly a control freak, as she sort of says that she is, that if you're holding an event in your home, you would want it to be executed in a certain way, because that reflects on you, right? Because it's in your space. So if somebody came to you and said, I'm going to hire in a taco truck and I'm just going to let people have like Coronas out of, you know, an ice box, I would be, if I was Crystal, I would be like, love this idea, but we're going to have a taco chef and we will have like a menu at the bar and the beer will be on tap. Like, you know, you would just, and you would just pay for that, because you just could not have, you could not have the average party in your garden. Like, it's just not possible.
So then, could we not say her parties are basically charity events?
I mean, charity for, yes, some of these women. I mean, it was a charity event for Lisa Rinna.
Yeah, but I mean, personally, I really loved it. Yeah.
I have to ask, which cocktail are you drinking off the list?
I'm actually going off, like, not something on the list. I'm getting a Suddy Buddy.
I am also ordering a Suddy Buddy butt.
Suddy Buddy butt. Would you, have you ever put like I've put liqueur like with, actually like I've done gin and like champagne, or like Saint Germain and like champagne, or like maybe like a spritzy sort of champagne thing. But have you ever put like tequila or vodka in your bubbles?
So, I learned in Portugal to put vodka into sangria. So the concept of vodka into wine is not foreign to me. And can I say,
you said that like you're a scholar.
I remember learning to put the vodka in the sangria, but I do not remember anything else.
I woke up the next day and I was like, am I still in Portugal?
And I would imagine that putting vodka into your champagne has a similar effect.
Look, she only put a dollop. It's not like she put a lot of the vodka in there.
What? I mean, it's interesting. And what did, there was the tequila and champagne had a name also.
Was that also not a Suddy Buddy? Because I was assuming that was a Suddy Buddy. No, that's a Slutty Buddy.
The Suddy Buddy has to be the vodka. Vodka. The tequila has a different name.
Jeez, we'll have to Google it. I'm sure, like, Sutton didn't make it up. It seems very Southern. Like, it seems like something she was doing in Georgia. But I think that if I had to have one of the cocktails that was on the list, I'd have the Pucker Up, because I believe that was basically just a margarita.
What was the other one, like Shut Up Beach?
Oh, was there one? Shut Up. And then there was another one which was like No Apologies or something.
Ugh, I mean, the way Erica ordered the No Apologies.
I mean, I'm sure it was made in her honor.
Moshi, the last thing I want to talk about in this episode was this beautiful moment between Kyle and Kathy.
Yes.
In Kathy's, like, estate.
Estate.
It's not a home. It is an estate. Look.
It's a village.
Kathy Hilton, the way that she served Kyle with the TV dinner, like, trays. It's just, it's so interesting. Like, but just the way that the wealth whispers.
No, but it's the way her mind works. Like, she did it because that's what they did growing up. So it's not like she would do the TV dinners with everyone. It's something that she does maybe with Kyle and with Kim. It's just something that they do as sisters. Because it's not like they're eating, like, TV dinners.
No, I mean, not at all. That snack was not prepared by Kathy Hilton.
That's what I mean. Speaking of which, everyone should watch Cooking with Paris.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing.
I'm, like, obsessed with the Hiltons at the moment. Like, well, the way that they have had this, like, resurgence.
Yes. Well, everything that was old is new again, right? So, because I feel that, because I'm obviously a few moons older than you, but I had this obsession in the 2000s already, where I did, like, remember, like, the other week when you were, like, you know, Kathy Hilton and her two daughters, and I'm like, actually, she has four children. Like, I did all my Hilton research, like, when the internet first came out. So.
I just want to say I made a mistake. I wanted to say she had two daughters.
No, you didn't know, okay? It's okay to know. I'm really excited that you're finally doing your Hilton research. It's a fact. The whole family is very fascinating. I really recommend you go deeper.
Well,
you know, like Zsa Zsa Gabor was like her grandmother.
Kathy Hilton's grandmother.
No, Paris's, like, at some point. Like a step grandmother. Like, there's a lot of crazy shit in that family. Just go deep.
Well, and I love how this whole conversation about their mother was, like, precipitated from this, like, lipstick reader at the party. The lips
launch.
Yes. Like, I'm not surprised that this did not make the cut. We had to see the flashback because, I mean, we love a psychic on these shows, right?
We do.
But, like, lipstick reader was not the one, I'm sure. Like, what are we learning from lips?
Well, we do know that Carl tells us that she Googled all of them beforehand. So it's the fact that she then sort of said, FYI, I am a fraud.
Like, yeah, I know, right? The way that you're like, I'm a lipstick reader, but also I Googled some things before arriving today.
I read all of your Wikipedias. Like, at least she was honest.
It was a beautiful moment, and, like, seeing Kathy Hilton cry.
If you had told me, like, especially knowing what we've seen of Kathy so far, that we were going to get this, like, really deep emotional moment for her, not to say that she doesn't have them, but to me it felt like she wasn't going to, with the show, she wasn't going to bring that because she is a friend of, but she is, because we know that this is not an aspirational show for her. But it seems to me that, like, after a while, she got into the show, and she's given Housewife.
Well, I mean, the way that she is going to be hosting the next dinner party. Like, what friend of hosts, like, you know,
what friend of hasn't been kicked off? Do you remember when we thought that perhaps when they went to the lake, that was going to be the last time we saw Kathy and she might dip off? And all she has done is gotten better in every episode.
It's insane, like, the way that Kathy Hilton is carrying, like,
the show on her back, 100%.
Like, I hope she's doing okay with the back pain.
Well, she was at a party last night. I saw it on Instagram, so she's fine. And then the other day she was at the beach, dancing at the beach. Kathy Hilton is loving Kathy Hilton, and that's why we love it as well.
She just lives in her own universe.
Well, much like Crystal, sorry, I'm forgetting people's names here. She just does whatever makes her happy. Like, that is the goal in life, to get to a point where you can just do what makes you happy. And I think the thing about some of the women on these housewife shows is that as rich as they are, and as, you know, affluent, and as many opportunities that they have, none of them seem to have gotten to the point where they just have to do what makes them happy. They seem to still want to just do what makes them miserable.
Well, Moshi, you did mention Cooking with Paris. There's also another interview going around at the moment from Netflix with Kathy and Paris Hilton. And it's like a mum interview. And one of the things that Kathy Hilton talks about is that the people who have never had to work for their money are the most miserable.
Sorry. I believe it.
Because that's why Kathy imparted such a, like, you know, a hardworking ethic upon all of her four children.
I love you.
Well, Moshi, you know, speaking of things that, you know, make you happy, this podcast, working with you.
Aww.
It makes me happy. I feel fulfilled, just like Kathy Hilton.
You know, I mean, good for you. I mean, I love doing this podcast. I love you. I'm still not at the Kathy Hilton level of euphoria. But you know what it is? Now that I know that it exists, that's what I'm aiming for in life.
Please do. I mean, everyone that's listening, we definitely encourage you to like, review, and subscribe.
100%. 5 Kathy Hiltons or nothing else at all.
Just Kathy Hilton. We have the Instagram from the Lower Level Pod. There is content. It's happening.
We say this every week. At some point, we need to let the content speak for itself.
I know. But other than that, that's it for us this week.
That's it. Thank you, as always, Patrizio, for just an amazing discussion about our girls.
I know. And we'll be back next week for more of the same.
Look, we said last time that we'd be back next week, and then we weren't back next week. The lies. We'll do our best. We will do our best to be back next week.
As long as I don't have another personal moment, I will be here.
See you, buddy.
Bye, Mosh.